The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
This morning, we're going to be looking at names. Everybody say names. What is in a name? More than a label. Names more than a label. I'm loving the smiles. Thank you. So our text this morning is from Proverbs 22:1. I'm going to read it in a few translations, and we'll go from there. Two texts, actually, Proverbs 22:1 and Ecclesiastes 7:1. And I'll read from the Passion Translation first. It's a beautiful reputation. Everybody's reputation is more to be desired than great riches, and to be esteemed by others is more honorable than to own immense investments. I thought all that we're about is having investment, immense investment. It says that to be esteemed by others is even more desirable than immense investment. Second translation, it says in Living Bible Translation that if you must choose, God is not actually telling us to choose between the investments and the name. But if you have to choose, take a good name rather than great riches. For to be held in loving esteem, I love that, is better than silver and gold. I thought it's all about having silver and gold. To be held in loving esteem is better than silver and gold. Can we look at it in the Amplified Version? And it says, a good name, everybody say earned. So a good name is not given, it is earned. You're saying, what about the name they gave me when I was born? It's a good name. As we go along, you will get a different perspective. A good name earned by honorable behavior, godly wisdom. Just as an addition, when you get home, please read James 3, verse 17, to know what wisdom really is. Godly wisdom. If you're writing, you just want to put that in the bookmark somewhere. Call it your parking lot. Godly wisdom, moral courage, and personal integrity. That's the definition of a reputation, right? And it says, is more desirable than great riches, and favor is better than silver and gold. Now we'll look at Ecclesiastes 7. I read it in the Living Bible Translation. It says, a good name is more valuable. A good reputation is more valuable than the most expensive perfume. I like perfumes. I hope you do too. I love to smell nice. Meaning from this scripture is that the same way some people will perceive your perfume before they see you, you know, sometimes some people get to perceive your fragrance before they see you. In fact, you're in a room, they'll know, or you came out of a room, they know that this person was in this room. Before they see you, it says that your reputation is worth more than that. Meaning people can also perceive your reputation before they see you. Your reputation is worth more than expensive perfumes. Therefore, if I need to invest in anything, the same way I take time, because an expensive perfume will cost you something, right? The same way you take time expending or investing in an expensive perfume, it's saying take time to invest in your reputation. Take time to invest in your name. I came up with a slide, a collage of slides. I'm sure we know these people, right? Is there anyone that doesn't know anyone on this picture? If I ask name now, I'm sure you'll be able to tell me their names, right? Is there anybody you don't know on this picture? Maybe that guy with white baby and Akman hair like my head. His name is Mahatma Gandhi. No, so let's get out of the way, because I know you're comparing my head to that head. It's okay. It's all right. His name is, the same people that are wise have that kind of Akman head. All right. Praise the name of the Lord. So, but what is the relationship between all these pictures? One word, if I were to ask you, one word. What? What? Sorry? Leadership. Leadership, yes. They were all leaders. When you look at that picture, they are all leaders. But the question is, what emotions, what reputation do they have? So you know that guy, right? He has a reputation, don't he? Huh? Beautiful. You know that woman? The one that does not need even gun, but he enters into the deepest places, right? You know this guy? Eh? This guy made us feel proud as black guys, eh? You know this man? It was said that this man delivered India without shooting one bullet. What about that woman? You know her? Her name was on all the currencies everywhere. What about that guy? But he was a leader. He had a reputation, right? Hallelujah. Okay, what about this next slide? What about this picture? You know that guy? Eh? What emotion came? So you're even laughing. But what emotion came when you saw that picture? I know this laughter is a suspicious laughter. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. But you know this guy. Everybody's reputation. I dare not bring the picture after this guy. Right? But really? Should I? No, I should. Oh, no, no, no. What's the point? You can't meet people and distance them from their reputation. They can't meet you and distance you from your reputation, no matter how much packaging you put inside of it. You see, you can't meet a lion and not remember the encounter. You know that, right? It's either you have an out-of-body experience, or by the time you are done, they're asking you, can I change your trousers, or can we change your pants? Forget the spirit of David, the spirit of Daniel, the spirit of Samson. I mean, miracles happen. But I'm saying when you meet a lion, the last thing you'll be thinking about is the spirit of David. Your question is, which tree can I climb? Just imagine just walking in a bush behind your house, and they say, rah! Then your faith for Philip will come up from nowhere to transport from that place to another place. So people don't meet you and truly forget the experience. Or why should they meet you and forget the experience? Because the point is, when you meet people, what do they make of the experience? Last week, everyone you met had an experience. What did they make of the experience? And when we're growing up, you know, there used to be a whole lot of emphasis on the name. I don't think it happens a lot anymore. Your parents would say, remember your name, remember the family from which you were born. I won't say the person. Interestingly, I was speaking to someone in the morning, and they were dropping off their kids. The person is here. And I heard the person saying, remember the family you come from. I said, that thing still happens. And I'm thinking, okay, I think I should adopt it for my children. But what she was saying, I said, you already know the kind of person is she. What she was saying to her child or children, I think she was dropping off her children, is that remember your reputation now that you're going off to school. Remember your reputation. Why? Because we're being taught then, and I believe what she's teaching our children, is that they are more than a label. You are more than a label. Everybody say, I am more than a label. You are not just Mr. whatever your name is, Lagbaja, or Mrs. Kambiakwa, whatever. You are more than a label. And Daniel 6:4 tells us that when Daniel and his colleagues, can read that scripture, when his colleagues were being primed for promotion, Daniel had done the things that he needed to do, but his colleagues were beefing, and then they began to gang up against him. Daniel's colleagues ganged up against him. And then let's catch it from Daniel 6:4. It says, the other officers and rulers were jealous. They wanted to find something. Everybody say, find something. Something bad about Daniel. So they could tell the king. They watched how Daniel worked to serve the king, but they could not find that he did wrong, anything wrong. They will watch, but they will not find anything wrong in you in Jesus' name. I say they will watch, but they will not find anything wrong in you in the name of Jesus. And it says that because Daniel was good, honest, and he always did everything properly. So the reason why people are able to drag you and drag you left, right, and center is because you have too many skeletons in your cupboard. And guess what? They have the keys to the cupboard. That's why. When we're growing up, one of the phrases we used to hear is like, clear conscience fears no... There are old people here. Clear conscience fears no accusation. They couldn't find anything in Daniel that they could drag. The question is, can they find things in you that they can drag? Daniel had a reputation of being good, a reputation of being honest, a reputation of being faithful. In fact, he said he was diligent in the king's work. So if they were going to say anything, bring any report for the king, they'll say, King, this man is just a great guy. And of course, you know the story. What he now did was to use his faith as an accusation. And anytime they use your faith as an accusation, guess what? It will certainly backfire now. So I pray for you in the name of Jesus that everyone that is trying to use your faith as an accusation will receive that backfire in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So your name can either be an anchor or a launch pad. The name you answer to will influence how you understand yourself first, because you are the first witness. Your name that you answer to will also influence how others perceive or receive you. The name, and I'm not talking about my name, Richard, as just a name. The reputation that you carry would also help you understand how to navigate this life that you're living. Just for a bit of digression, I know my name that heaven calls me. One of the names that heaven calls me is a bridge. I am a bridge. When you see me, my name is not just Richard. I'm a bridge. I connect people with clarity. That's one of my purposes. If you have a conversation with me about an issue, you must find clarity. I know who I am. The question is, do you know who you are, what you are being called? What does heaven call you? That when someone comes in contact with you, right, that purpose comes up. I'm not talking about the name that your father gave to you. You are not a label. What is your reputation? Praise the name of the Lord. If someone internalizes negative labels, for example, maybe they continue to call themselves a failure or a troublemaker because that's what their parents or people that were older than them called them when they were much younger. What that will do, it will certainly impair the person's self-esteem. That's to the point where they begin to, you know, it will restrict their behavior. They begin to walk in that name that they had been called since they were children. And as a rule of thumb, my wife and I personally don't label our kids. We don't tell them stuff like, you are a liar. We say, don't tell tales. I mean, the point is just telling them that they should speak the truth, correct? So we substitute the word lying for tales. Don't tell tales. I mean, a child can have a clumsy behavior. Does that mean that they are clumsy? The child is not clumsy. So stop labeling children. And most importantly, stop labeling yourself. You are not a failure. You failed doesn't mean you are a failure. No, somebody cannot hear me. I said that you failed doesn't mean that you are a failure. Someone said, I am a divorcee. Who said you are a divorcee? That you went through a divorce doesn't mean you are a divorcee. That is not it. When everyone looks at you, everyone will say, divorcee. Oh, I'm sorry. What's the worst thing? He committed fornication. You are not a fornicator. The prodigal son left home and did all kinds of crazy stuff. But the only time we saw God run in the Bible was when God ran to him. The only time in the Bible that God ran. Because that illustration is about the father and his son, right? Isn't it? He said that the father ran. God runs to you. Because he puts his name upon you. Hallelujah. If you're clapping, you can clap unto the Lord. So you must intentionally build your identity. In the year 1966, a professor called Rosenthal did an experiment called the Pygmalion experiment. So the Pygmalion experiment is like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Where our beliefs, my belief and yours, will influence your action towards other people. Many times, some of us have preconceived conceptions about people. And what that does is that it will also impact other people's beliefs about themselves. Right? And then their belief about themselves will cause them to act in a particular way towards you. And then when they do, guess what? You say, hey, I talk and I say B. Meanwhile, when you saw them, you judged them already. You already said, they are like this because maybe they were sounding like that. right? And then when you said they are like this, guess what? You begin to respond to them. Let's say, for example, you say, this one a liar. So when the person comes and the person is talking, you're just like, so your action already is affirming the person that the person is a liar. And then the person now could just say, you know what, what's the use? Just throw you one lie. And they say, yes, I caught you. It's not true. And then eventually, so it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's a loop. It's a loop, and it goes on and on. So, and I remember when I mean, we use this in psychology, right? A lot when we're trying to get people to break out from a particular kind of pattern. But, you know, it struck me that this is so profound that when we were growing up, we hear parents, and I mean, older people just label, you know, children. I think they were ignorant at the time. Just label people. Many of us are working with the labels that we were given when we were children. Even though you are great, you probably have money. You have things going on in your workplace. But if you're sincere, there are certain labels. Because one of the things that we do to break the Pygmalion effect is that you ask yourself a question. Who told you that? Who told you that? Anytime your mind tells you, I can't do thus, you say, you're asking yourself, who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you that when you are past age 40, you have to take it easy that you don't run too much so that your knees. I remember when I started running, people told me that if you run too much on the road, your knees would pain you, or your knees won't be able to carry you anymore. And I started to believe it. Guess what? My knees started paining me. I said, for what? Before COVID, I could run only 3 kilometers. Post-COVID, I can run 10 kilometers and counting and more. And I started to run. Over age 45, I can still run 10 kilometers non-stop. And guess what? My pace is increasing. So why? Because I began to tell myself, who told you that? What have they said to you? What name, what reputation have they given to you? Who told you that? Who told you that? Is it the word of God that told you that? If it's the word of God that told you that, guess what? It is settled. And guess what? God doesn't beat his children down. God does not look at you and say, liar. So next time a voice comes into your head and tells you that you're a failure, what do you say to the voice? Come on, I can't hear you. Who told you that? Told you that. Set yourself free. I'm not a failure. Who told you that? Yes, I failed. And you should have a beautiful relationship with failing. Because in failure, there's growth. Because it means you tried something that was beyond your capacity at the time. You know what you do? You go back, you build yourself again, and you come forward. Who told you that? I'll give an example. I grew up in a street called Yoruba Street. As the name implies, there are a lot of Yoruba. I'm not talking in Lagos, in Benin, if you come from Benin. There were a lot of Yoruba people. And, you know, there's this particular family that were our neighbors. The mother used to call her daughter Moromoro. Everybody say Moromoro. You'll be wondering what Moromoro means. The girl's name was Yemisi, Oluwa Yemisi. That Oluwa Yemisi means what? God honors me, right? Am I correct? And Yoruba is getting better. But the woman used to call her daughter Moromoro. And Moromoro is actually a tag, a moniker for Morocco smoker. She was age 6 or 7 at the time. Who can tell me how Moromoro used to behave? Sometimes when Moromoro will pull some stunt, you say, this girl is the smoking bowl. Because the mother was affirming the girl, Igbo smoker. Igbo smoker in the morning. You say, Moro. I'm not joking. Sometimes you say, Moromoro. That is constantly calling the girl that you are behaving like someone that is on substance. I mean, I'm talking about, this must have been 80-something or early 90s. I don't know where the girl is now. I pray that the girl has gotten to that place where she told herself, who told you that? Who told you that? Because at age 6, 7, she was really Moromoro. May our children not be Moromoro in Jesus' name. So naming is a divine gift that you can call something or call someone or call a place a name, and automatically that thing, that person, that place begins to adopt that name. It's such an extraordinary experience. You call Nigeria, for example, a failed country. Other people will be eating the good of the land, Isaiah 1:19. Guess what? Your experiences will be what? I'm not saying we're not going through something in this nation. So you think every time a very big car passes by you, the person is corrupt, right? It's a lie. That's why you should ask yourself, who told you that? When we're growing up, they say big people are corrupt. Who told you that? The guy is doing his business. She's doing her business legitimately, making money. You see her sitting 409. Who told you that? Who told you that? There are people that have done legitimate, built legitimate enterprises and are doing well. But you call your own failed. Your experiences will be failed, I'm sorry. You say your marriage is hard. In fact, you say marriage is not easy. That's how they say it. Who told you that? Who told you that? Everybody say, who told you that? You can't be a lion and call yourself a cat. I remember the story Papi would tell us about the eagle that lost his egg and grew up around chickens. And after a while, the eagle began to see itself as chicken. When they are pecking worm, it's pecking chip, chip. Until he began to, when he sees himself, his size between him and all the other chickens, this thing does not blend. I don't look like my siblings, right? And then you see those ones soaring high. You say, I look like those guys. The question is, who do you look like? When you look in the mirror, what do you see? What are you saying to yourself? What are you saying to your inner man? What do you see? You're a lion, because your father is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. When you look at yourself, amidst all the burdens and the pressures, what do you see? Be careful what you call yourself. Be careful the name you answer to. Be careful the name you answer to. You must be careful how you show up in your sphere and circle of influence. Why? And this has nothing to do with packaging now. We're not talking about packaging or showing up like an imposter or laundering your image to appear more than you are. No, that's not what we're talking about. But I'm saying be careful what you answer to. And you shouldn't really launder your image. If there's something wrong when you look into the mirror, then you have to fix it. Why? Because you can scrub off dirt from a stained cloth, but you cannot scrub off, you cannot launder your reputation. You can't take your reputation to the dry cleaners and say, I bear me wash it, express, I'll pick it up tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. What's the point? Benjamin Franklin says, it takes many good deeds to build a good reputation and only one bad one to lose it. That's why integrity is a must. That's why your values, I'm loving the fact that we're on a values champion journey. That's why your values are a must. You must imbibe values. In God's Favorite House, we have 12 values. If you say, you know what, I don't even know where to start. I do not have values. You know what, come to the Information and Connection Center. Let's give you our own values so that you can begin to apply them to grow. Why? Why should I have values? Because the world only pays for value. The world pays for value. If you do not have value, if the world pays you, after a while, you will lose the money. The world pays for value. You are sitting on a chair right now. It was someone's value. The moment we needed the chair and we went to the person, we exchanged money for value. What I'm using to speak to you is someone's value. We exchange money. Guess what? What you are wearing is someone's value, right? The finer it looks, the more value that was put into it, right? And you exchange more money for that value. I pray that God will cause your value to speak for you in Jesus' name. That people will be exchanging money for your values in Jesus' name. Say amen like you mean it. Amen. Physical debt can be easily cleansed, but a soiled reputation requires much more effort to repair. Question now, and I want you to think about this. When your name is mentioned, what image comes to mind? When we put up the image of that man, I won't talk about the last slide, all of us began to laugh. Some of us is laugh of frustration, like, this guy, what this guy has done to us, you know? When your name is mentioned, do people say, do they laugh? You know, frustrated laugh is different from a laugh of joy. Frustrated laugh, that is, now what? Is that the kind that they laugh concerning you? When your name is mentioned, what comes up in the mind of the hearer? When your name is mentioned in church, what do your department people, what emotions is stirred up when your teammates hear your name? I say, Richard, they come. Hi. Hey. God forbid. At work, when your name is mentioned, when you press horn, when they say, Daddy is back. They didn't call your name, say Daddy. The word Daddy is a trauma to many people. May your name not be a trauma to people in Jesus' name. Whenever your name is mentioned, what emotion does it carry? Is it the same across board? That's another question you want to ask yourself. Or can you be likened to Legion? Who knows Legion? We are many. Yeah? So in church, you are one. At work, you are one. Amongst your friends, you're another one. So you are Legion because you have plenty of personalities. That the ones that see you at with your friends, when you say you are going to church, say, which church? I better stop at me. Because they cannot imagine that this person can show up in church. One of my cousins said to one of my other friends that is not yet born again, that you are wasting your sin. We laughed about it, but I sat down and I thought about it. You are wasting your sin. That means he cannot understand whether the guy is born again because the guy shows up as born again. It's, this guy, you deal with us or you're not deal with us. You didn't waste your sin. Just join us with the sin. That is such a profound... When he said it, I mean, I am Pastor Asoto, you say, he said they're wasting sin. May it not be said about you, say you didn't waste your sin. May it be said about us that we are pure, we are righteous, and we carry the name of the Lord. Does your name carry neighborly? Does your name carry kind? Does your name carry just? Does your name carry generous? Does your name carry honest? Does your name carry faithful? Oh, loving, high moral? Or does your name carry sloppy, lazy, not committed, quarrelsome? Are you described as grumpy, moody? I will always say, I love the word moody. Why? Because I always want to be the one to tell people that stop having a monkey mind. A moody person is a monkey mind. Meaning, you know mood, I say mood swing. You know, monkeys like to swing. Today you are up, phew, you swing down like a monkey mind. You go up, your God is not moody. Why are you moody? You wake up in the morning, your emotions are up. Then in the afternoon, you're deep. Then, so someone that is dealing with you will be wondering, are you Legion? Because there are many emotions inside of you. Your emotions should be consistent. You are not a moody person. If they describe you thus, then something has to change. Do they describe you as gossip? What do they describe you as? And why is this important? Because how people experience you, listen to this, becomes their expectation. How people experience you becomes their expectation. And that is so true. Experiences drive expectation, and expectation becomes your reputation. And we're not playing words. The expectation I have from you becomes your reputation. That when I see you, when you see me, you don't expect anything else but that reputation that I've come to know. That is why sometimes you wonder why you go into some places and people are smiling with you. But somebody else comes in and their body is just shifting, arranging. Why? Because they've earned a reputation of being a spoiled spot. You wonder why some when you go somewhere, they're giving other people hugs. When you come, they just give you fist bump. Because they don't know whether you are Legion. Today you are happy to hug. Tomorrow when they come, you like this. Next tomorrow you bone. So who are you? How they experience you determines how they describe you and what they expect from you. Our expectation becomes, people's expectation of us becomes our reputation. If the experience is that this guy is not committed at work or any place, pray all you want. Fast and pray that this guy does not show up. When an opportunity opens up in the team with perks and promotion, they will call your name, Usai. No, they won't. They won't. Because the reputation you have in that place is not committed. Your name will never make the list. And last year, by God's grace, I had an opportunity to go on a team optimization retreat, you know, as a consultant, as a coach. And the convener of that program, I mean, all expense paid trip to Rwanda. There's nothing sweeter than that, really. You know, and then when you finish, they send some spirits into your account. sweet die. Look, focus. The convener of that program said that when they were designing the program, when they were thinking about who to, you know, who fits this role, that my name showed up simultaneously in his mouth and his carcass. You know, you have to know the etiquette of the palace. His carcass, they said, they call me KCRO in that place. They say, KCRO. And he says, yes, that's it, bring him in. I was in my house sleeping. The call came in at after 12 midnight. I said to my wife, would they go Rwanda? I said, go, baby, go. Go, because you know that you can't go there and come back the same. Let's not forget the money, the exposure, the value that you get. What am I saying? I'm not trying to blow my horn. What I'm saying is that is how I showed up in that community, right? How are you showing up in church? I think, when I think about it now, that where I learned how to have the confidence to speak was in church. When Papi would say, go and take opening prayer. First time I show, like, you see their faces. Opening prayer. Then they say, go and take announcements. You stutter, making mistake, jamming the program. But after a while, you build the confidence, right? And you say, you know what? Go and lead the teen church. And I'm there. I see, you know, have you tried to talk to teenagers before? They will throw you in different directions. The ones that just come and say, look at this guy, we'll show him pepper today. They will tumble you. But in the tumbling, right? You are building capacity. In the tumbling, you are building capacity. In the testing, you are building capacity. In the pulling, you are building capacity. That when you show up, they say, this guy is one. This guy is one. Praise the name of the Lord. Because a diligent man will stand before kings, he says, Proverbs 22:29. And if I will add to that, I love to add that, not only will he stand before kings, he will get spirits in account. If you don't understand what spirits in the account, you get it on Wednesday. So what is your name? What have you been called in our community? How are people experiencing you? What encounters do they have? What is driving that expectation? What is driving your reputation? Scripture tells us in 1 Kings 10 from verse 1, we won't read the entirety, I'll just take two verses from there. I'll take verse 1 and verse 6. And this is a story about Solomon. When Solomon was jamming, everybody say jamming. Not when Solomon began to write many things and when women are driving him crazy. There was a time Solomon was jamming. It was known to, in fact, two women had their baby, right? And one mistakenly stepped on a baby, killed her baby. And then she went and stole the other's baby. And it was time for judgment. They went to the king and said, it's my baby. He said, she's my baby. It's my baby. It's my baby. It's my baby. Ah, king confused. But God has given king wisdom. King said, you know what? Divide the child. Who knows that song? King Solomon, don't divide the child, though. Don't divide the shadow. We better go without the shadow. You know, okay, you don't need it. You didn't grow up in Benin. So they were about to divide the shadow. And the mother that owns her said, King Solomon, don't divide the shadow. Don't divide the shadow. And King Solomon said, you know what? That is the mother of the child. In fact, even if you are now you born the Pekin, because you won't kill your Pekin, you don't deserve this Pekin. I mean, so what's the story? The queen of Sheba had heard about this King Solomon, about his splendor, about his wisdom, about all that Solomon was doing, his officials, and she showed up there. It says the queen of Sheba heard about Solomon's reputation. What is she about? Reputation. Your reputation precedes you. We said, like, better than perfume. It precedes you. It says he owed his reputation to the name, don't miss that, to the name of the Lord. The reputation God has given to you. So she came to test him. I want to know if this guy's reputation is real. When people are having a conversation with you, many times they are testing you. They say this one is kind. They say this one is humble. They are testing you, sometimes unknowingly. And so she tested him. Go to verse 6. It says that she told the king, what I heard in my country about you and your words are true. Hallelujah. Maybe said about you that what we heard about you is true. In the name of Jesus. They heard that you are kind. What we heard about you is true. They heard that you are wise. What we heard about you is true. They heard that you are loyal. What we heard about you is true. They heard that you are committed. What we heard about you is true. They heard that you are an innovator. What we heard about you is true. In the name of Jesus. She said, what we heard about you is true. So we must be conscious of the impact we are making on people. Be conscious of the impact of your words and your deeds. My coach says that the worst kind of legacy anybody can have is, guess what? Nil legacy. What is nil legacy? That people can never remember that they had an encounter with you. He says it's even better that they have it is way better that they had the positive encounter with you, right? And he says it's also good compared to a new legacy if they had a negative encounter, meaning if they came in contact with you and the first meeting was a poor meeting, they would judge you by that. But you know what? At least they have an opportunity to learn. And if they give you a feedback, you have an opportunity to learn. But guess what? If all that there is to you is that your name is just in the admin sheet that he once worked here, that should not be your story in Jesus' name. New legacy, no recollection. So the question is, if you left church, God forbid, today, who will remember that you were once in God's favorite house? Who will miss you? And you can say, they will miss me. Who said so? What value are you bringing to the church? Do you just do service and next thing, out of the door, you're gone until next Sunday? What life are you impacting? Whose burden are you carrying? When last did you pray for your pastor? When else did you pray for him? Genuinely. Not when we say, let us rise on our feet and pray for Papi now. That you said, you know what? I want to lift up the hand of Olufemi Muneyin this morning. Like Aaron and all did. I'm not saying this as a sin, but I'm saying that is what causes you to be missed. That is what causes someone to say, I heard about you. And what they say is true. The point here is that legacy doesn't happen by chance. Legacy comes intentionally, by intentionality. You must name in your heart what it is you want and then chase it with all your strength. A profound Jewish wisdom, they call them the Midrash. I want us to read it. It says, in life, you discover that people are called by three names. One is the name the person is called by his father and mother. One is the name people call him. One is the name he acquires by himself. It says the best one. So if you were to choose the one that you acquire by yourself. The best one we strive for. The name we go before God and say, I've had enough of these limitations. I've had enough of these limitations to my reputation. I need to align with purpose. I didn't just wake up one morning and say, I am a bridge. I know that that's what heaven calls me because over time, I've been able to align and see that, oh, this is one of the strengths. Some people call it superpower that is given to me. And I know that he calls me a bridge. Praise the name of the Lord. What does he call you? He says the best one is the one that you acquire for yourself. So my father didn't call me a bridge when I was born. My friends don't even call me a bridge. But I tell you the name, my guy's name, my friends used to call me a bridge. So what guy's names are your friends calling you? That's not your name. Oh, blow. No, it's not your name. Some people's guys think that weary. No, it's not your name. It's not your name. Bad guy. It's not your name. I had some call him, say, fish. Say, fish? How? Fish. How do you call him? You can't be fish. It's girls. Maybe, okay, I didn't pronounce it like fish. But you know what? Have you ever seen it as fish? Fish? How? The best one is the one you acquire for yourself. And that's not the one your friends give to you or your parents give to you. It's the one that you get from your experiences with God. And in Genesis 32, we learn that Jacob came to the end of himself. It's a long read, so I'm not going to read it. You know the story of Jacob. They called him 419. That's what his name literally meant. Jacob meant 419, supplanter. Jacob had supplanted and supplanted brother, even though we know that the brother willfully allowed himself to be supplanted, so to speak. Uncle Laban. Jacob was known to swerve, right? But Jacob had come to a place where he had come to the end of himself and he had to face his brother. And he had this hunch on his back. It was the reputation as a supplanter. Imagine the last time I saw my brother was threatening to kill me. And I'm going to have to face him right now. I don't know if he still wants to kill me because he says that I messed him up. I don't know how bitter he is. I haven't seen him for years. The reputation he has of me is that I am a supplanter, Jacob was saying. I left a bad taste in Esau's mouth. And let's say Jacob's reputation wasn't such a great one, right? And even upon that, Jacob has still acquired a lot of possessions. I want you to get that. That's grace. He didn't have a good reputation, but he was wealthy. So that tells me that your wealth doesn't necessarily relate to your reputation. After all, Nabal was called the rich fool. May you not be called the rich fool in Jesus' name. My late brother says some people are so poor that all they have is money. Oh, I miss that guy. Some people are so poor that all they have is money. Jacob was saying, Jacob actually said that. When I was crossing this Jordan, I had only one staff. Now I don't load. Everywhere is sweet. But I be 409. And Jacob began to wrestle with God. Jacob began to wrestle with God. The Bible says he wrestled with God all night long. Jacob began to churn his heart. You know what? I don't need this hunch anymore on my back. I need this thing to leave me. That anytime people see me, is my reputation is that I am a 409. Jacob came to that opportunity to fix this. And the Bible says he wrestled. God gave him bar in his waist. Even though the guy's waist was dislocated, he still held God. Saying, alive for where? Genesis 22:26 says, eventually the man said, because he saw that Jacob was not about to give up. The question is, are you giving up? Have you taken the name that we're giving to you and just soaked it in? Have you just said, this is my lot? That you have capped. You will not cap in Jesus' name. Because the Bible says that you are limitless in the name of Jesus. I say you will not cap in Jesus' name. The path of the just shines brighter and brighter from unto strength and glory. You will not cap in Jesus' name. Jacob said, I will not cap. Let me go, the man said, for the day is breaking. I can't be seen here. But Jacob refused, said, no. Not until you bless me. Not until you bless me. Jacob already had money. What's he talking about? Jacob already had children. Jacob had cattle. And of course, he had land, because when his father dies, he's going to inherit all the land. But Jacob was still talking about blessing. That does my head in. Blessing is not just in the material. Jacob said, until you bless me. And the man says, what is your name? Jacob, he replied. And the man says, not anymore. Your new name is Israel. For you have struggled with God, with God and with people, and you have overcome. Everybody say, overcome. You have overcome in the name of Jesus. By virtue of being here this morning, the Lord says that you have overcome in Jesus' name. Is it not interesting that when Jacob asked for blessing, God changed his name? I'm asking for blessing, you change my name. In fact, the biblical meaning of name is character manifested. That's the biblical meaning of name. Character manifested. God says, you know what? What just needs to change is your character. What needs to change is your character. What needs to change is your character. For you have struggled with both God and men, and you have overcome. I say you will overcome in the mighty name of Jesus. So as we wrap up this morning, one compelling lesson we cannot miss from this passage is the fact that while our past experiences, while your past choices, while your past circumstances, while your past reputation may have influenced your present, it does not have the final say on the outcome of your future. No, it doesn't. Though your past can have an impact on where you are now, it does not determine the final outcome of your future. Even if your reputation has been damaged by past actions, they already think about you in a certain way in your family. They already look at you in a certain light in church. It has nothing to do with the future, the glorious future that God has in store for you. Say amen. Amen. My brother, it is possible to rebuild trust. My sister, it is possible to demonstrate growth. It is possible to prove that you have changed. You have changed. Just like Saul demonstrated. When Saul changed, the people didn't believe him. He said, that one when they keep person, so maybe our brother in Christ. How? Imagine a Boko Haram member came in here. You know this guy was BK. And he came in and he sat in behind Pastor K, next to Francesca. But people change. Hallelujah. It has nothing to do with your future. You can change. But what do? You have to come to a place where you come to the end of yourself and you genuinely cry out to God and take the posture like Jacob did and says, I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go until I acquire that name for myself, not the one my father gave to me or my friends gave to me or the community gave to me. I will not let you go until you bless me. Revelation 3:5, I read it in the NIRV version. It says, here is what I would do for anyone who has victory over sin. Victory over sin. Sin is just missing the mark and missing the price. Sin is sin. The scriptures even says that if you know what to do and don't do it, it's sin. So don't say sin. Yes, sin. It says those that are victorious, those that will take the posture of a Jacob. He says, I will dress that person in white like those worthy people. Not you. I say amen to that in Jesus' name. He says that I will never erase their names on the book of life. He says, I will speak of them by name to my father and his angels. He says, I will speak of them. I will commend their reputation. That's what he was saying. To my father. You may have started as a usurper. You may have started as a supplanter. You may have started at whatever name that has been limiting your reputation. But this scripture is saying that you do not have to continue that way. So I'm going to read it again so that you can hear, and the choice is yours to declare it over your life. It says that I will dress that person, Richard Obomo, in white like those worthy people. Amen. I will never erase the name of Olufemi Muneim from the book of life. Amen. I will speak of Richard Obomo by the name of my father and his angels in the name of Jesus. I said the Lord will recommend you. We commend you, your reputation before the host of heaven. Amen. So let us begin to cry out to the Lord right now. Cry out to the Lord. Speak to him that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will commend me. He says that because I take a stand for God, he will speak about me to the host of heaven. Mahasalakata, cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. I don't know what your name is. I don't know if it's a limiting name. But the most important thing is that your reputation has no right to limit your future. Cry out to the Lord this morning. Let it come from the depth of your heart. Mahasiakakaikahande, that I will be clothed in white. I will be clothed in the clothes of glory in the name of Jesus. Can we all rise to our feet, please? I'm going to read one scripture. We'll pray. This is the first layer of prayer. And then we will call, after praying this prayer, if you have not settled the part of the name, that part, let me read that part again. It says that, here is what I will do for anyone who has victory over sin. To have victory over sin, the first step is to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Meaning, you're saying, I repent. So, but you know what? God is gracious. We're going to pray the prayer about to pray. If you have not settled that, when the altar call is made, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't wait. You put up your hand and cry out to God. Because that's your first step. Otherwise, even the prayer you pray, it's not going anywhere. Really. Because you cannot trade with God on top of what he called sin. 2 Samuel 7, verse 9. 2 Samuel 7, 9. I'm reading from the International Standard Version. If you have that version, please. But any version you have, you can put it up for emphasis. 2 Samuel 7, 9. It says, furthermore, I have remained with you everywhere you have gone. Say amen now. Amen. That's God saying it. Annihilating all your enemies right in front of you. Say amen. Yeah. This is the part we're going to pray with. It says, I will make a great reputation of you. Amen. Yeah. Like the reputation of great ones who have lived on earth. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Someone's reputation is on this phone. His name is Steve Jobs. If I mention his name, you know his name. Someone's reputation is on the one that is making cars that you drive. Some of us, we drive something called Ford. It's someone's name. You drive Mercedes, it's someone's name. You use Microsoft, it's someone that did that. His name is great. So you're going to pray and cry out to the Lord. You're going to say, Father, the power to manifest the great name that you have given me, let it come upon me now. In the name of Jesus, lift up your voice. The power to manifest
that great name. I know you have given me a great name. You said it in your word. You do not announce a frivolous name before your father. No. Jabez came to the place where he began to cry out, I don't want a limiting name anymore. Is there someone this morning that is saying, in the name of Jesus, my reputation changes now? The power for creativity, the power for innovation, the power, my Lord, my God, for commitment. Let it come upon me now. Let it come upon my children. My name is great. I'll be labeled amongst the greatest names upon the face of the earth, because you are not done with me yet. I will not finish small. Is there anyone crying out to the Lord this morning? Mandiasa, are you not tired of your reputation? They say today, borrow. No more borrowing for me. You're not a borrower. You lend to nations. You do not have a cantankerous spirit. You're not a divider. You may have gone through a divorce. You're not a divorcee. Neither are you a widower. You are not a widow. The Heavenly Father is your husband. He will pick you up. Every limitation. Mama takali abobo. Oh, I have a great name. Oh, yes, I walk in greatness. I'm labeled among the greatest names upon the face of the earth. Mando sekubaya kaya dole yasala. My Father. Oh, we give you praise. There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me.
There's no wall you won't kick down. Lie you won't tear down. Coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Father, I am grateful. Today, I come before you. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died for me, and I use my mouth to confess that you are God. You are my God. Lord, from today, let there be transformation in my life. Father, from today, let there be a change in my name. From today, let there be a change in my situation. The things that I've struggled with in the past, Lord, let the struggles cease. The challenges that have held me away from you, let them melt away. From today, I commit to walk with you. Help me. Because I've heard that no one comes to the Father except the Father draws them near. Today, draw me closer to you. Let my life never be the same again. And so shall it be. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we are just so grateful for your word. Thank you for everybody that is here today. Thank you for your son that has come to pour out himself even before us. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, the words that has been shared today, Lord, will land on fertile ground in the mighty name of Jesus. Every one of us will experience a name change in the mighty name of Jesus. Every name that has been stuck upon us, deliberately or otherwise, that has not been giving glory to your name, today those names are wiped away and a new name comes upon us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we say thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Take absolute control today, my Father. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord.